You are now listening to No Dumb Idea.
Oh boy, what a day of losing, you know, losing out on hundreds of dollars across the country. There are voices crying out in pain and anguish, and do you guys hear that? Do you hear the voices? Huh? What? Can you hear them echoing over the hillside?
I hear your voice.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I mean.
What a day. It's only 11:30 a.m.
Yeah, no. and it has been a long one.
Been awake for 30 minutes. Oh, man.
Uh-huh. I'm tired. All 30 minutes of that agony.
Yep.
Absolute agony.
Oh, totally.
So, yeah, I hear the people of Hoosville screaming, cheering. What's it all about?
Oh, the people of Hoosville are upset. They're raising quite a clamor. They're yopping up and down because, well, if you're connected to the game of Magic the Gathering, you'll know that a lot of people are upset right now following some very specific bannings. A few very beloved cards, very powerful cards, got banned after a long time of dominating a casual format, so-called. We say casual, but people are arguing about it, so is it really? The casuals are arguing, which, like, if you got the casuals arguing, that's when you know something's up. Mm-hmm. And it brought me to this concept, you know, this idea of banning the things we love. So that's what we're going to talk about today here on No Dumb Idea. Welcome, everybody. This is No Dumb Idea. This is a little podcast that we run that is all about talking about our favorite comic books, video games, movies, and other various nerdy media. I'm Jim Leader.
TCGs.
And I'm here. And TCGs. That's absolutely true. It's true. I should start including that in the beginning.
I'm
here with my co-host. Yeah, Dala.
Yeah, Gibbledang.
And Gibbledang. We're gonna talk about this. We're gonna do some real chatting, some real chitting, cause this has got a lot of people in a stir. But first, I want to hear about you guys. I want to hear what's going on in your weeks. Hopefully, a little less tumultuous than the online Magic community.
So I don't know if I've already mentioned this, but I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3 again. I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast, but I managed to actually get the space for it on my laptop, and I'm playing it, and it's fun. And it sucks, because this is probably the third time that I've, or like fourth time that I've played through it. So I have like the beginning, the first two chapters like ingrained in my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, I want to get past this already.
Run through them.
But it's still a lot of fun. And yeah, so that's basically been taking up the very little free time that I have, because now I have a new job where I fucking work 12 hours a day. Ugh, that's a whole other thing. Yeesh. But you know, it's been making me enjoy my time. What little time I have, it's been making me savor it. And last night I actually managed to find the newest Hellboy movie that released. What?
Does it have a subtitle?
The Crooked Man?
Is there? Oh, that's right. That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
The Not So Straight guy.
Yeah.
Oh, right. This is the one that looks like it's a fan-made film that's like done in that same piece of forest that all fan-made films are done in.
Yeah.
Like our Evil Dead ripoff based on the first trailer, or one of the trailers at least.
So watching it, it's pretty damn solid. Mm-hmm. Pretty damn good.
Really?
Yeah. In my opinion, it might be the best. Yeah, I think it really is like what I've wanted from a Hellboy movie. It's just a straight up.
I texted that last night. I was like, wow, I'm surprised. Yeah,
it's just straight up an adaptation.
I'm glad.
I was surprised. Yeah. It's like.
Of like that, the Crooked Man story, I assume.
Yeah, yeah. I actually haven't read that one.
Specifically that one.
Because I think that one takes place outside of like the, not like the main Hellboy continuity, but it's a side story.
It's like a prequel or something.
Yeah, it's a side story.
Sidequel.
It's so hard for me not to just think of Wolf Among Us when I think Crooked Man.
Oh, true. Yeah, like, I forgot he's
a huge he's a huge part of that game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, it's a
wiggly bloke.
So the effects were so-so. It does look low budget, but that doesn't, you know, like we're a big fan of low budget horror movies. Like it's nothing that, you know, it just adds a little more charm to it.
Especially in horror as a genre.
Yeah, I feel like the characters were really solid. Hellboy was straight up the most accurate rip from the comic books. Played by actor Jack Kesey, who played Black Tom in Deadpool 2.
Oh, yes, that's right.
He plays Hellboy.
Black Tom Cassidy.
He's really good. He's really personable, you know? Like, the whole thing with Hellboy is that he's not down to earth, but he's your average Joe at work. But his work is that he has to kill monsters.
Killing monsters.
Yeah.
But, you know, his main conflict
back
is that...
Back to the old grind.
Yeah, his main conflict is that he's a monster. And
he works 12 hours.
It's funny because a lot of the movies deal with, like, oh, he's in the BPRD and, you know, this and that. But I think in the second or third volume of his run, he, like, rips off the BPRD patch and it's just like, I'm not with you guys anymore. I'm going to go do my own thing. And,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was a really good movie. It was really fun. One thing I noticed was that, like, it was like 91 minutes, which is pretty swift. Hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's go, the perfect movie!
There'd be a point where I'm like, okay, oh, fuck, man. Clearly, I'm halfway through the movie. I check the time, it's 30 minutes. And I'm like, oh, shit, okay, I got another hour left. Nice. And then later on, that's I'm funny. Like, oh, shit, okay, there's probably only 20 minutes left of the movie. I'm halfway through the movie. And I'm like, god damn, so much happens. It gets your attention and so much happens in that little time. And yeah, I guess last little highlight, not really a spoiler, I guess, but it deals with witches a lot. And it actually... It deals with, like, the other half of Hellboy's origin, where his mom was a witch, and it touches on that a little bit, which is refreshing, because all of the other movies have been about, like, the other half, about how he's destined to bring the apocalypse, and how he's just this demonic creature, I guess.
The Antichrist, essentially.
No, not that, really. Because that's much more...
Well, if he's bringing the apocalypse...
Well, it's like it's more of like he's going to cause the destruction of the world. I don't know if that's really Antichrist, is it?
It's like the
that's
same...
That's what the Antichrist does in the actual myth. Yeah.
It's like the same type of...
He's the son of... He's the son of Satan and brings about the end of the world.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Haven't you seen Omen 4 or 3? Come on now. Glad that that's like worked out for maybe Hellboy needs to be a B movie and not like a big blockbuster
honestly. Yeah. Kind that's of the problem. Like that makes like I was thinking about it the other day where I was thinking about if we could ever actually get a Hellboy that somehow visually actually smacks of the art style of
I think we talked
the
about
comic
that last time too.
It's like, I don't even know if it's possible in live action. Yeah,
well,
and
you could do, like, Sin City.
That's the main thing.
That's what I was thinking,
Yeah.
Like, if you, like, did Sin City with lined dark. So, if you did ink lined dark over live action in Sin City style, it might be a really, really cool way.
Oh, yeah.
And everything could be super heightened and dramatic and, like, really, like... I don't know. It just seems like it would be right the right format for that would be something that graphic. I know,
even like the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, like the 30s, considered the first horror movie. All the sets mm-hmm. had their shadows painted on, which is really like, hey, you could just mm-hmm. do that. Do that in the...
just actually yeah. draw
them. It's just, there's a lot. But I don't know, man. It's going to come to VOD. I know that it was in theaters for a little bit, but it won't be in theaters in America, unfortunately. But
I was going to say,
hopefully it does well. That's all I could say. Cause
who made this again?
The fucking director of the Crank movies and Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
God damn it, even the second.
Which I will say, there are some shots where it's like, they really own it in, because like, in those tonally. Movies, very tonally different. In the other movies, there's a lot of spastic, like, whoa, like fucking crazy shots.
Camera fucking zooming in and out or something, or wobbling,
and you feel like there's times where it's like it kind of leans into that a little bit, but then there's like someone with a leash off camera just like pulling the director back. You're like, nope, we're not doing that. But
not this one.
Yeah, by the time this comes out, I'm not sure if Hellboy's gonna be out yet, but you know, give it a shot, check it out.
Yeah, it's a shame it's just like went to VOD, like not even like a Netflix or something.
Because like these are like, a lot of these actors, I've like seen these actors in other stuff. I know the director's done other things that have been like at least recognizable. So it's like surprising they wouldn't give this a theater run at all.
Oh, the
like,
last one.
I wonder if that was always the case, or if that was like a last minute decision.
Well, I think it's because the last one was such a failure.
Flop.
Yeah. I'm going to rewatch that today.
I don't even know if I finished it, because I don't remember like half of it.
We tried to watch that together, right?
We did. Yeah.
I think we probably just got drunk
and
started making out or something. Yeah.
Drew or something.
Oh, yeah, drew
or
draw.
Yeah. Typically.
We drew each other a bath and made out.
I held up my picture. I'm like, this is my bath. This is your bath.
we drew a bath. Yeah,
exactly. What? Oh God, we're such good artists.
We put the papers together with a kiss. Oh shit,
that's good.
All right. That's awesome. Honestly, I'm pretty happy that there's like a decent Hellboy to watch in the modern day.
I'm also, since like the first couple things, I'm not trying to hype it up or anything. I'm saying it's a good movie. It doesn't do anything that's like oh my God, no way. Like, it doesn't break any new ground, but it's just a really solid adaptation, really good tone, and
it's decent.
I'm also
passable PBC.
I'm also not talking shit about the Guillermo del Toro movies, because those are good. It just straight up isn't like an adaptation of Hellboy. It kind of loosely, it takes like 80% of the material.
It's definitely an adaptation.
Yeah, like it's more of like.
Yeah, well, the second one's interpretation. Like a complete, honestly, different story too, right? Made up.
Yeah, the second one's completely original. Yes. Honestly, those are just.
And the first one.
Pan's Labyrinth. I feel like he was just setting ground for Pan's Labyrinth. You know what I mean?
And
their fantasy adventures.
Shape of Water.
And Shape of
with
Water
with Abe Sapien. He's like, I'm getting ready. Yep. The things to come.
You know what's the craziest thing about Shape of Water still?
She fucks the fish.
Is that like...
Because to me, that's the craziest thing. It's that she fucks the fish.
No, it's that...
Okay.
Is that like... They end up together. It's not like a story about how she fucks the fish and then realizes, I shouldn't have fucked that fish.
Ew.
No, fucks the fish and then we realized, oh, this is what I want to do forever. And then they're like, happy ending.
Well, I guess that's sweet, right?
Do they show kids? Do they get kids?
Do they get kids? Damn. Do they have kids?
Like, they have, like, half?
Well,
I don't know. Fish anatomy? Maybe they fish
male,
man anatomy?
Well, male fish still be shooting, you know? So, maybe.
Oh, my God. She would have, like, 1,000 kids.
Half human, half fish men.
Yeah, she would. But only like
so exhausting as a mother.
Only like half of them would
live. Yeah, because the dad would eat like half of them.
Yeah,
And then she wouldn't.
Well, they're eggs. Well, they're eggs.
She'd be like, "These are my children, but I have too many to remember."
And it's the fish man just eating their children, like,
like Saturn eating his son, kind of fucking, but just like
exactly.
Eggs. You know, I would be down if Guillermo was just doing Shape of Water to set him up for this second one.
For Shape of Water, too.
Really dark, I feel like that's how it
would have to be. Yeah. I feel like you would have to make Shape of Water 1 to set up Shape of Water 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, I'm waiting for somebody to have the courage to not wait for the first one and just be like, this is my new movie, Walk the Road 2. And they're like, is this a sequel? Star Wars, and they're like, no.
Yeah, just start with a random number.
That's what Star Wars... Well, technically, Star Wars didn't assign the numbers to later.
Okay, nerd.
At first, it was just Star Wars.
Okay.
Was it Naked Gun 3 is like 33 and a half, or a third, or whatever. That's true. So it's like a bunch of missing in the middle.
Nice.
But actually, speaking of fucking gross movies, can I talk about a gross movie I just saw?
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
That was beautiful. Have y'all heard of The Substance?
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot for it.
Let me give it
a Google here.
Yeah, it's a body horror movie starring Demi Moore. Mm-hmm. Basically, the premise is it's Demi Moore, so she's a bit of like older actress, for modern day.
Yeah.
And she basically, there's a substance that she could Netflix pay for, basically, like subscription pay for, which will basically make you like hot and like famous, essentially. It's like just goes from there. It gets fucking wild. It's a perfect blend. Like, I feel like this movie is the perfect blend of like David Cronenberg's The Fly and Society, which are two of my favorite like body horror movies. Like tone, themes, and like body horror itself. It's like, because it tackles like aging, what it's like to age in like Hollywood. In like media, Hollywood.
Yeah, like, seems like a little comment on like plastic surgery and like trying to avoid the signs of aging at any costs.
I assume it's also and the standard that we hold women up to when it comes to like beauty standards stupid shit like that. Yeah,
the standards. Yeah, standards of just like what it like takes. And like, it's funny because what's his name?
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid, yeah, he's in it, and I didn't even register it was him, but he's, like, such a, like, I love his character because he's such a producer man, like, haha, like, you're so hot, like, do that thing, because like, she's, like, she's an aerobics, like, instructor, that's her, like, claim to fame, and so he's like, oh, like, do the bend, like, oh, haha, like, and I got all these producers, and it's fucking wild, it's gross, I love it. Also, saw it like a bit drunk off mimosas, funny enough. Ooh. So it's like nice. Extra wild.
Was it a morning?
Yeah.
So it was a morning viewing.
For brunch, and then we ended up getting too drunk that the drunks lasted till like 4 or 5.
Because
it's a mimosa drunk. Yeah. And we're just walking around. We went to Japantown.
Nice.
And you're like, oh, that's right. Those orange juices had vodka in them. Or champagne.
Champagne, yeah. Well, because we went to a place that does... We went to a place that does, like, different flavors. So we were like, let's try, like, the, like, mango tahine. Let's try the pomegranate. Let's try the, like, this blue one.
That...
Yeah.
I remember... But,
that reminds...
Oh, my God. The worst... I was about to say, me and my friends one time when I was in the city in Chicago, we went to a place for brunch and we got their bottomless mimosas.
Yeah,
where it's literally just like they have this thing that serves it. It's like a little dispenser.
Oh, as shit.
And it's
so no
like
one's monitoring too. Damn.
No, and so they have dudes coming around with who are like dressed in like skimpy outfits because it was a gay bar, and
a gar,
like a gay pub.
Oh, a gub.
Gay pub. Gub. And these like the twinks in like skimpy outfits were coming around with little gun dispensers, and they would pop open the big container at the center of your table, and they would shoot more mimosa into your thing, and then
that's awesome.
Plug it back up, they could like, it was so funny. Sorry,
I love the idea of twinks. Because, no, you're good.
like one was dressed like a Boy Scout, one was dressed like a firefighter. Like, it's not that weird, the gay community.
The community.
The community. One guy was a doctor.
He probably would have been a nurse, but yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Men can be nurses. Gay people can be doctors.
Okay. Yeah. Men can be nurses.
All right. And gay men can be doctors.
Gay men can be doctors, and men can be nurses.
Gays can be men. Okay.
So stupid.
But yeah, just highly recommend, especially as we hit into October. Check out The Substance if you want some gross gore and some good commentary.
I saw a couple stills of like some effects from the movie, and they look pretty gnarly.
Mm.
It's cool.
Yeah. Again, if you like The Fly or Society, it's like a perfect blend of the two. Even has some of the comedy of Society.
Ooh.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for me, I didn't see any movies this last week, but I have played a new video game.
Ooh. Pizza Tower?
Stardew Valley?
No, Pizza Tower. Beat that. Beat Damn. Pizza Tower.
Oh, you did beat it. Okay. It's fine.
Yeah, too. Twice. No, I've been playing Black Myth Wukong.
Oh, wow.
So the new game about Sun Wukong.
Isn't that getting banned?
No, I don't think so. Okay, I think it's just Chinese, and their government bans a lot of things. But this one,
but I thought it did Hottaway.
This one's very not banned. Now, yeah. It's kind of I feel like it's kind of everywhere it's right
too
now.
Too good. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's installed on everything.
It is seemingly not getting a lot of recognition from like the review and awards like community within the gaming community. But we'll see how that goes. But regardless, great game. You know, if y'all ever want to play a Souls-like that's not as hard as Dark Souls, I've been playing it. It is still hard. It's not as hard as a Dark Souls game, though, but it's the same style. Amazing mythos. I don't know how familiar you guys are with Journey to the West.
Feel like I've probably seen it in some other anime or some kind of, you know, where it's like
a few versions of it in live action because they've made like 10 different movies that are all just A Journey to the West.
I haven't seen any actually. Huge. Like I'm aware of the character. I mean, I guess on a surface value level, but I don't really know his story.
It's definitely worth a watch in some form or. However you want to consume it, if you find it like a comic version or something, or if you play the game. It? Well, the problem is with this game is that this game's a sequel to it.
Oh,
so gotcha. It's a sequel. If That's you want to cool. know the actual Journey to the West and the story of Sun Wukong, you have to go do that. But whereas this game, you are Sun Wukong reincarnated, and you are going around to find the six pieces of himself that he like imbued his spirit into.
His Horcrux?
The six senses of the Monkey King, basically. The monkey yes, crux? Honestly, the monkey crux. And once you have all six monkey crux,
you die. You can,
like be reborn as Sun Wukong. Monkey. But also yes, because I was thinking about that the other day. Your character, the main character, like you had a different identity your whole life, but then if you just turn into Sun Wukong and you gain all your memories back, doesn't that kind of mean the person you were your whole life is dead?
Yeah.
Like that's not who you were.
Yeah.
Like
you were just a placeholder for something.
You were a filler
better.
Person. So, yeah, improved. I was thinking about that the other
substance.
Day.
Improved.
The substance. The substance. Yeah,
they took the substance.
Stronger. Really good game. Very fun, like, mechanics, because Sun Wukong, you know, he is the basis for so many anime powers, and most of the jutsu in Naruto is based off of Sun Wukong / Son Goku, his Japanese name. Mm.
And then Goku.
and literally Goku. Yeah. Monkey D. Luffy is based off of him.
Hence the monkey.
Well, it's like Sun Wukong has the staff that like can grow infinitely big or small or to whatever size he needs it to. That's featured all over the place in Eastern media. Monkey D. Luffy is a representative of the staff itself, and where that's how it's where like instead of having a staff that stretches, he stretches. but also like the Sun Wukong can take his hair, pluck a single hair, and turn it into a clone of himself. And he can take a bunch of them, and he can just kind of throw them out, like, and then army. Just make an army of clones of himself.
Can you do that in the game?
Yes, you can.
Oh, you
can. You get a shadow clone ability, essentially.
Cool.
That's where sick. You just summon a bunch of clones of yourself to fight for a little while.
And then your game crashes because you have too many.
It's basically, it's like the character type of the playful, sprightly, like, I don't want to say monkey, like,
well, monkey's a big part of it, honestly.
But playful, yeah. Sprite, jumpy, kind of like godlike.
The spirit of the monkey. Yeah. Yeah. Someone who is so powerful that they can take nothing seriously.
Yeah.
And refuses to be lighthearted. And, like, because he's, Sun Wukong's supposed to symbolize the mankind's, perseverance, basically. The will of mankind, the spirit of mankind, because he steals godhood from the celestial banquet, and
literally
when
think
the gods
of Goku,
start
honestly.
Killing, yeah, and okay, when the gods start killing his, well, wait, when the gods start killing his people because he stole godhood, he basically fights his way through the pantheon, killing all the other
Kratos.
Gods.
They took that from Kratos.
Like, he's literally. Yeah, and Kratos fucking basically took it from Goku. No. Like,
they should have a God of War versus the Jordan, like God of War crossover, basically.
Oh,
where he goes and kills their deities.
See, they can. That's that would get banned. So that's gonna bring us to our.
Yeah, speaking of banning.
Speaking of bans, we're gonna talk about bans today. The big one that brought this topic to my mind, the Magic the Gathering bans. So, just for a little basis, for those of you who play Magic, there are very key cards that got banned recently. And that was Dockside Extortionist. There was Mana Crypt as well. And a new Lotus called Jeweled Lotus. So, a few things here.
And Nadu.
And Nadu. But nobody cared about that one because everyone wanted that to happen. So that was fine.
Okay. Okay. Oh, man. I'm going to need these explained to me, but go ahead.
All right. So I'll explain all of them then. Sure. Nadu, real quick. Nadu, a creature who is incredibly strong. Gives all of your creatures the ability to, when you target them, you get to look at the top card of your library, and if it's a land, throw it on the field. If not, you get to draw it. So, seems like a small ability on its face. Yeah. But in reality, when combined with equipments that pay zero to a target and attach to something, so you can just attach them to everything over and over again, you just basically play your whole deck for free.
But it also leads to, like, people having 10-minute turns of just, and then I do this, and then I do this, and it's like, dude, you're playing with yourself.
As someone who built a Nadu deck, I can attest, it's not even fun for the person playing. Yeah. It's when you get into it, you realize that, like, you have to just, like, dig and, like, finally get the, and just kind of just go to work. And it's like,
you just, like, take a deep breath, like,
because
here we go.
Having my turn.
I feel like there was that time where we had like a 2-hour game because you were playing Nadu, and in response, I had made the Arkham Dagson deck.
Arkham Dagson.
And it just became a game of both of us doing that. And I remember looking at you and just, like, in my mind thinking, like, is this fun? Are you having fun? Is this fun to you?
I will point out. Like,
it's like mutually assured destruction deck.
We also realized later that you were also playing with a card. Speaking of banned cards, you were playing with a banned card that had already been banned in Commander.
Nice.
Paradox Engine.
Hell yeah. So good.
So Nadu got banned. Everyone rejoiced. There was much rejoicing. The other ones. So, Jeweled Lotus. Let's start. We're going to start there. Jeweled Lotus is the next in a line of Lotus cards. So, the Black Lotus being the most famous. Now, Lotus cards are famous for two things. Basically, they always have a similar effect. They cost zero to play, so you get to put them out for free.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sacrifice, you sacrifice them, and they make you mana. That's what they do.
Okay.
Black Lotus, the best in original, it just, you play it, you sack it, you get three mana to do with whatever you want with. So getting that on turn one, when you're supposed to usually only have one mana, is a very big deal. And basically can break open entire games. So they made a version of this called Jeweled Lotus that is only for Commander. That says, when you sacrifice this Lotus, make three mana, but you can only spend this mana on your commander. So it's only, you can only play it in one format, commander.
Yeah.
Can't play it in standard, can't play it in modern or anything else, because that effect doesn't do anything in other formats, because you don't have a commander in other formats.
Yeah.
So they decided to ban this card. This is a card that now has zero playable formats because the only card it can be played in, it is too Command. Strong for.
Oh, really?
They decided it was too strong. So it's a little silly. It's a little silly also because it's featured in a few Commander precons.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can open a Commander precon, and one of the mana sources in your Commander precon is not playable.
Yeah.
It's
like giving you trash.
Hell yeah. Just,
exactly.
I mean.
So this is just the entire concept. The entire
it's all trash. Trash. It's all cardboard.
But, yeah, I guess fair. You could play it still at your own leash. It's gonna a ref runs to your house. What the fuck are you doing?
Disgusting.
So that's the other thing. This amidst all this, as I talk about this, there is always the back and forth in the Magic community about like, oh, what about Rule Zero? Rule Zero being just the rules that you make up and agree upon with your friend group, and that's how you guys are going to play. So a lot of people will be like, oh, my friends, like, we don't play with Nadu. It's an agreed upon thing. We don't play Nadu. Yeah,
house rules.
And it's like, that's a house rule. Yeah. And so people are like, oh, if it's really that big of a problem, just Rule Zero it, house rule it, so that your friend group can play with the cards still. And the argument becomes, like, okay, well, like, it's like, okay, but if everybody's going to do that, then why did you ban it in the first place if everyone's just going to house rule it back in?
Yeah.
And so that's a big one. So the other two cards, Dockside Extortionist. This is a two mana cost goblin who, when he enters the battlefield, he creates treasure tokens equal to the amount of artifacts your opponents control. So when you're playing a four-person game, which is how Commander is usually played, you have three opponents. You have three opponents who are all playing, and a very common thing to do in Commander is to play mana rocks and to play artifacts that give you more mana. So it's very likely that most of your opponents are going to have two or three artifacts at least when this guy comes out. So he's going to be making you at least like 6 to 9 artifacts, 6 to 9 treasure tokens.
Nice.
His ability is just an entrance ability, which means every time he comes in, it's going to happen again. And there's a lot of very easy ways to make him come in and out over and over again and repeat that, especially if each time you do it, it gives you 9 mana or more. So this is kind of along with things like Mana Crypt, because like Mana Crypt and Soul Ring are the things that where people play them on turn one, so that by turn two or three, when you play your Dockside, you're already getting a bunch of mana. But Dockside Extortionist, that one's rough, because that one was basically, I don't think that one should have been banned at all, because it wasn't a... the other cards are that got banned are two of the big ones. They're colorless, and they tap for any mana color, Mana Crypt and Jeweled Lotus, which means that they can go in every single deck, no matter what.
Yeah.
That's not true with Dockside Extortionist. Dockside Extortionist is a red card. It's a goblin. So, there's a whole suite of decks that are never going to play Dockside Extortionist because you're just not playing the color red. And I feel like having a color have a really nice key card in it that's really strong, every color in Magic is like that. They all have really strong just power cards that you can basically put into any deck of that color. Like, one of them that I like to think of for a long time that people regarded as really strong, not as much anymore, but before, Consecrated Sphinx. It's just this big blue Sphinx that when your opponent draws a card, you get to draw two cards. And so when you're at a table with four people and three of them are your opponents, mm-hmm. that means you draw a card, I'll draw two. Now it's your turn, I'll draw two again. Now it's your turn, I'll draw two again. Yeah,
just like a shit ton.
So, okay. Exactly. So it was a powerful card that you could basically put in any blue deck because every deck ever cares about drawing cards. So, same with Dockside Extortionist. You could basically put it in any red deck because every deck ever cares about having lots of mana. Mm-hmm. So that you can play more spells and do more things. So, that one I don't understand as much. I think that was odd. And then finally, Mana Crypt. Mana Crypt, also like Jewel Lotus, zero cost artifact. You tap it for two colorless mana. And on your upkeep, when you go to untap it, you have to flip a coin. And if you lose the coin flip, you take 3 damage to your health.
Okay.
So,
but if you win,
nothing happens. And you just untap it normally. And you get to use it again. So,
okay.
It's something for free that gives you extra mana to do stuff really early. And the drawback is very negligible because in Commander you have 40 life. So it's a 50-50 chance you're even going to take damage. And if you take damage, you're only taking 3 damage. So it's like you could take that all day and be completely fine. And for the amount of acceleration you get, it's worth it almost always. So that's another one where you can put in basically any deck. It's a zero cost. It's colorless. There's no restrictions on where you can put it. And so because it basically was a, if you have $50 and your opponent doesn't, you have a better deck type thing, they banned it. So it's been weird. It's been weird because people online are going kind of nuts about this. While I understand why it's a problem, the Magic community reacts so violently to these things sometimes.
Violently?
And,
death threats.
Well, yeah.
Oh, let me put it
this way. As of yesterday, two members of the Commander Advisory Group, the rules committee basically for Commander, have resigned. Since this announcement. This announcement, two members have already resigned.
What was it? 5 cards that got banned and they're out?
Or four.
Four cards?
Yeah.
So, and then that was too many. You got to get out of here.
That's hilarious.
Yeesh.
It happens a lot this day and age, honestly, with games in general.
Oh, everything, when people
will make huge banning announcements or huge rule adjustment announcements and then resign. it's surprising how often that happens, and it's mainly to try and escape the backlash that is inevitable.
Oh, sure. It's just like well for the mental health.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Magic bans have for a long time been a very contentious part of Magic. So any questions?
I was gonna ask about... when was like the last major ban like this for MTG, if you know, like roughly?
So,
yes, the day before. I'm just kidding.
Not really. I mean, bans kind of... The thing is, the MTG comes out with bans all the time. They do a quarterly banned and restricted update.
Gotcha. Did they ever unban cards?
They do. Okay. Sometimes they'll ban a card because of it seems too strong, and then after like 4 or 5 years of power creep, the modern cards have caught up to how strong it is, so they'll unban it.
Figured.
Yeah, and the thing is that even though they're banning things all the time, it's more about what gets banned. that makes the big, like, impact. Because they're willing to ban stuff all the time. Yeah. I'm trying to think right now of, like,
the major
ones. I would say some of the major ones in recent years were, for Commander, a big one that was really funny was they came out with a new card that they had to pre-ban. They banned it before the set released.
Pre-ban can still get you pregnant. All
right. Can't patch it. Yeah.
Pre-ban can still get you pregnant. True.
You can't patch a fucking MTG card or packs. Like, yeah, I guess that's the only other way to do it.
That was a really funny one.
Where do you remember what that card was? Sorry.
Yes, it was. It's Lutri the Spell Chaser. He's a little otter card who can be your companion. A new concept they come up with, companions. And the other funny thing about Companion was that when they launched the new set that had Companion in it, they had to rewrite how Companion works. So, like, if you buy physical Ikoria cards that were from the original printing, all of the text on them that says how Companion, the ability, works is wrong. That's not how it works. They eroded the entire ability.
Nice.
So, it used to say, you can, as long as you follow its companion rule, you can have this like a commander, another commander, a companion that you can play at any time from the side of your, from like the side of your deck, just like your commander. Well, they changed it because it turned out that was way too strong to have in 60 card standard. They were like, this is not doable in a format where you can have four copies of the same card because it's so abusable.
Yeah.
And and so they pre-changed that as well for the launch, so that instead of just it's on the side and you can play it whenever you want, it has an ability that says you can pay 3 mana to put it into your hand and then you can play it from your hand normally.
Yeah.
So they had to slow it down. So like that was also a very good that was a really funny instance of them banning an ability, like eroding an ability before anyone could play with it, because they just straight up were like, hey, we fucked up and we did this wrong.
Yeah.
I will say that was also something that was very funny when I was in high school. A card got banned called Snapcaster Mage. And when they made an article about it announcing it got banned, the writer of the article basically started the article with, hey guys, we fucked up.
Like, what the hell? Nice.
It was like, they didn't try to like cover it up at all. The article was literally a whole piece about like, here's how we made the accidentally most overpowered card to exist in this format we ever could have. This card is bonkers and should never have been allowed to exist.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, I'm like, I know there's a lot of like playtesting, so I'm just like, how does it get that far and like whatever.
That's the real question. A lot of times it's funny because these things will like get too far because people will be like, oh, it's just like attached to a tiny little creature. It's like a 1/1. Its entrance ability is really good, like, but it's a 1/1. You can get rid of it so easy.
Or my headcanon is they're all too drunk on bottomless mimosas and they accidentally pass. It's like, yep, that one's good.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, kind of. I mean, it's funny, but the people who create Magic the Gathering aren't the best Magic Gathering players in the world.
That's like, fair.
Some of it overlaps, but like, it's typically its own group that's the best Magic players who think of the most creative combos and like have this stuff on deck.
No, that makes sense. I mean, it's like, if you're the best at playing it, like, you're not going to go, like, if you're the best basketball player, you're not going to go make basketballs. You're going to play basketball.
Literally. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Because most people report that when they do start working for Wizards as a professional Magic the Gathering player, it basically starts ruining the game for them. Because, it's not something they get to have fun with anymore. And the thing is, when you go to work at Wizards, you are, as the entire time you work for them, you are not allowed to participate in most tournaments.
Yeah.
Because you are on the production side, like, a lot of things you're not allowed to participate in. That's the way I understand it. So,
That's that makes sense. Too. I mean, yeah, that sucks. Yeah. Plus, I'm sure there's a lot of cards that get made where they don't think, because there's like millions of cards, so it's like you can't think of every type of strategy. So it's probably like, oh crap, someone found an exploit with this. That, you know, makes it more OP than we anticipated.
They're always gonna miss stuff. It's like you can't catch everything. Yeah. So yeah, that's banning in Magic. Magic's little history with their own with how they treat banning cards is very interesting. Yeah. So, and sometimes a lot of players will argue that it's more interesting what they won't ban, like what they will allow to dominate formats still, such as the One Ring, which people still are noting is in 65% of competitive modern decks run the One Ring.
Let me look that up. I always forget what that...
What's it do?
It just draws you cards.
Oh. 150. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It's expensive as fuck. Jeez. Yeah. It's expensive as fuck. It just says when it enters, you get protection from everything for one turn. So you get one for one turn where you can't be hurt by anything.
Yeah.
And then you start tapping it and putting counters on it to draw you more and more cards every turn, but you lose life in exchange.
Because it's the One Ring.
It's the One Ring. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So stuff like that, a lot of people say, is very interesting that they won't ban.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I just, that's why I, like many Magic players, just play Commander and just play with what I like to play with and what my
Rule Zero
friends play with.
Oh, yeah. Update.
It's just a lot easier.
Update on our weeks. Gym Leader Nate and I went to pre-release, Dustmourne pre-release.
We got trapped.
Okay, so we did a two-headed giant event, which is two players versus two players. And there's a fair amount of people there. The first people that we go up against are a father son, who the son's like 10,
who've been playing for a month.
They're like brand
and
new.
The son's like 8 to 10 years old, and just like constantly asking questions. He was adorable.
And constantly, literally just saying, "Yeah, I don't really understand what you mean."
Yeah,
but okay.
I don't know what's happening right
shit
now.
Rocked.
That's what you're saying. I don't know what's happening.
We're gonna lose anyways. So I don't know what's happening. Like, but it was fun. Poor kid. It was fun.
The dad was like trying to like bond with his son, and you guys fucking decimated.
We did.
No, we honestly
we did decimate them.
We did beat them, but. Honestly, I spent a lot of time, like, kind of teaching them how to play, too.
Yeah.
And then after that...
Yeah, that's good, though. That's probably the best way to learn.
After that, we got trounced by, like, four
by
stupid
teenagers.
Yeah.
Nice. So, say four?
Yeah, two teams of two.
They were cheating. So like, there was four of them. There's two of you.
Yeah, they ganged up on us. They stomped us. Yeah, that was it was rough. It's a great set though. I'm gonna say
they should ban
super fun.
They should ban.
Oh, that's the horror themed one, right?
Like multiple ages being in an event. Like
they should
that.
Have like age class instead of a weight class.
Yeah, it should be
like,
an age.
Yeah,
class.
Instead. Can we just there make MTG
18 up? Yeah.
Ooh, start putting boobs on the cards.
They already do. It's kind of surprising that it's 13 and up, honestly. There's a lot of boobs and death already in MTGR.
Start putting wieners
like a PG-13 movie. Put wieners.
There is a card or two that's got wiener.
Ooh.
They're old, but they exist.
Gagic the Gathering.
That's insensitive.
There you go, buddy.
Gay magic.
Yeah.
I walked up there. Took me a while, but.
But
nice, yeah.
While we're on the topic of like, banned stuff.
Yeah.
You got any other? I thought if we wanted to, if you guys have anything that you'd like to talk about in terms of banning, because there's a lot of instances where banning can kind of really get in the way of media enjoyment.
Yeah.
I think Mouse. Yeah. You know, speaking of comic books, I think Mouse was banned recently. The retelling of World War II from the perspective of mice and cats and mice. But it's actually like it's a what is it? A biography that the writer wrote about like his grandfather.
I can't remember.
So yeah, that's that one's rough.
That one is
another similar actually too. Is Persepolis? It's like the woman, right? It's an autobiography as well of like I think her growing up in Iran. Also has been had some trouble with banning. I know.
Oh shit!
It's so weird because like when like the state school boards and legislatures and stuff will try to ban these books and like say that it's violence that is the reason that they're banning it, like is because it's like depicts violence, and it's like meanwhile that's like the whole point is like to depict this, because like how can you talk about bad things that have happened like in a visual format like without depicting what you're storytelling about? And it's like that's the whole point, is that it makes you feel uncomfortable, and like the feeling that makes you want to make it go away is like why it exists. Like I don't know,
it's probably it's such a weird propaganda disconnect. In the sense of like the anti-prop whatever, like where they're like we can't have people be upset about like people in Iran growing up, so let's ban the book, you know, like as
part of it because there's more violence story.
Yeah, basically, like censorship in that regard.
And I remember reading an article too that in Florida, a manga. Actually, I have the article right here. what is it? A school district in Florida banned a manga called Sasaki and Miyano, because I guess it just has fucking LGBTQ content.
There's a bunch of that.
And they straight up recommended. They're like, here are other alternatives. Chainsaw Man, To Your Eternity, Seven Deadly Sins, A Silent Voice, and Sailor Moon. And it's like, dude, Chainsaw Man Sailor being Moon. On the list. Sailor Moon also. But Chainsaw...
It's got LGBT.
But that's like, they're literally like, you know, like, the Seven Deadly Sins is crazy to me. Because they're like, you know what would be a better option? This one show where one of the characters sexually assaults another character over and over and over and over and over again.
Or the, it's promoting like, no, go with the ones that have like Viscera and Sex Pest as the main, protagonists.
We're fine with violence, but no gay people.
That's where I draw the line.
As long as it's straight sexual assault, they prefer it rather than actual gay relationships.
Regationships.
That's much more obscene.
Yeah, we're getting there.
We're getting there, yeah. We're progressive here at No Dumb Idea. In which direction? Who knows?
Yeah.
progressing downwards, somewhere. I feel.
We're moving. We're moving.
No, as I said, I saw one, like, an article for Lumberjanes, which is, like, a YA graphic novel series that is very, like, LGBTQ, and that I saw something, like, Texas, they had, like, I think in some event where the author was going to come, and then, like, literally the day before they canceled because of the whole, and it's like, what, how did you guys not, like, how did you get that far, first of all, but then it's just like, it's like, come on, you probably had a pretty good turnout like that was gonna come too, so it's like clearly people support this. I don't know, it's just it's fucked up.
It's so weird because like the in like especially local legislature and local school board stuff and local like rules, they're appealing to are the loud people who get the most up in their like most up in the like local government's business, which is always just loud old people with nothing to do. And it's like who are just heavily involved in local like politics because they literally have nothing to do with their time.
Heavily and religious too, potentially.
Most of the time, And so like it's so crazy because like those are the constituents that these rules are being made for. Whereas like your average person just never would think to talk or even care about it. So it's like you almost don't even know to show up to defend it. It's like all of a sudden someone's talking about banning another book and you're like, what? Why? I didn't know this was a problem. Like, how could it possibly be a problem?
Yeah. To go into the realm of video games a little bit, I kind of looked up like a quick list. And this isn't banned, but I just one that came up that was like potentially was the, I don't know if you guys know, the Mortal Kombat Night Trap, like back in the 90s.
Mortal Kombat
legislation. Yeah, Mortal Kombat and Night Trap were like the two games that kind of, yeah, Night Crap. I mean,
Crap with a K.
Because have you seen Night Trap? This? Like,
no.
It's just like a FMV video game. It's like a very dumb B movie. I don't even know if there's violent or like blood in it though, or anything.
It's like horror, or like a 80s horror, girls trapped in a house that you could not spy on, but it's got cameras everywhere.
And you watch, and you set traps.
It's like Five Nights at Freddy's, honestly.
Kinda, actually, yeah.
Which is crazy.
The two of those games were the creation of like the games rating like system, like the ESRB. Right. Yeah, which is funny because Mortal Kombat, I'm like, sure, I get it because of the violence and blood and so forth. But Night Trap again. But yeah, it's just funny.
There was other. Speaking of like banning for violence too and stuff like that. People have tried to ban like the Killing Joke multiple times as well.
I think I saw Watchmen as well. It's like some list.
Yeah, same.
Mm-hmm. And it's like that one, it's like I can understand it because I mean, well, it's like compared to other comics, the Killing Joke is particularly gruesome.
True.
Especially with like the fact that there's like that's yeah but I don't know, the entire concept seems just odd to me. And like kind of like rolling it back to magic too. Because obviously these are different because like magic is banning cards for to mechanics, keep a competitive mechanical format healthy. It's just when you get to things like Commander that are just an at-home format, and it's like most people don't play Commander professionally or like things like that.
Yeah,
where it like. It gets to be where it's like, I think just people are putting too much emphasis on what people want to get banned or are banning. You know, it's like, just because things are getting banned doesn't mean that you should stop using them, stop having fun with them, stop getting what you want out of them. And it's like the good, also the convenient and great thing about these like books and comics and stuff that people try to ban is that like, the one good thing about the United States is if like in one state, somebody bans some book, and you can't find it at your local stores, it's like you can get it shipped to your house so easily and no one's ever gonna know. And it's like
the mailman's like taking your book. Hey, wait a minute, this feels like Watchmen.
Yeah, I'm shaking this box here. I think this is mouse, I can tell.
Sorry, not allowed. Contraband.
Yeah, so I just realized it's just like that's one of the few good things about the United States is that like even though we have these wackadoos trying to ban stuff all the time, it's like they never really can.
Yeah. I think banning's more so with like other countries because like when I was looking up lists, it's like in Australia and like all those more recognized, like in the UK in the 80s there was the Video Nasties, which was like a list of 80 banned horror films. And like Evil Dead's on there, you know, and it's like some good, there's some good ones and some like obviously some bad ones. It's like, but it's like America, like you're saying, it's like we can easily just walk next door, different state, or like, you know.
Yeah, right over to the next state.
Yeah.
It's when I was like, it's so funny because almost like fucking almost literally because when I was living in, you know, the Chicago area, one of the biggest things about the Chicago area is like if you're in a state that doesn't allow something, you are less than 2 hours away from three other states. So one of them is gonna have what you need. And so like
just start calling all the
do you need fireworks? You go north to Wisconsin.
Oh,
you
need nice
guns, you go east to Indiana. Like it's
damn
Nice. Illinois's got a lot of rules, but none of them really count if you're anywhere near Chicago, like the border, because
they're like all perfectly like lined up where it's like you could get everything, you just gotta kind of drive, you know, and
just gotta drive a little bit more.
Just gotta go, yeah. When my
dad was in high school, he would talk about how him and his friends in high school would drive up to Wisconsin, because Wisconsin at the time there wasn't a federal drinking age; it was still by state.
Mm-hmm.
And Wisconsin's beer and wine age was 16. And so him and his friends at 16 would just drive an hour and a half up to Wisconsin and
get drunk
and just stay there for the weekend, get tanked all weekend.
Yeah. So that's like, cool. Little weekend trips too. Damn.
Yeah. Cause like,
yeah,
it was legal.
I'm curious though. Being back on this, is there anything you guys can think of that you feel like should be banned that maybe isn't, or at least in America? Whether it's MTG cards or like movie game.
Oh man.
I mean, it's kind of hard to pick.
Yeah, if we're talking about in America, we're going to have
some. I've got a few right off the bat that I don't want
to. Then how about limited to pop culture stuff that we
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
That's what I mean, actually.
Limited to pop culture.
Sure.
Cuz I definitely know what I would choose, but That's a good question.
Yeah, pop culture
wise, I guess, yeah. Tucker Carlson? Wait, sorry.
Well, he's already deplatformed at this point. No, fucking, I have not. Isn't he deplatformed? He doesn't even have a show anymore.
He was fired. Yeah, they fired him. Mm-hmm. No, because Elon Musk gave him a show on Twitter. Airs on Twitter.
Show on Twitter. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
Wait, is that those like cartoon, like conservative one? Because that should be banned.
No.
Have you heard about that?
Oh, also, yes.
I forgot about that.
Forget about it, I think.
That's
the woke America. Yeah.
It is so funny. That show is, honestly, its existence is hilarious to me, because it's so, like, there's no punchlines. In the whole show. The whole entire show has no punchlines. And the punchlines are always just supposed to be, liberals exist.
Yeah,
and
literally.
That's it. That's the punchline.
It's like liberals.
Like, what a great way for them to advertise that they have no sense of humor at all.
Yeah.
Because, like, if they were to make something that actually had, like, good jokes that were kind of homophobic, I'd be like, okay, fine. That happens all the time. Gokes. But, like, no. Like, they literally came out with something that had no jokes in it.
And that's...
Did you just say gokes?
Hoax? Or...
Gay jokes.
Oh,
good
gokes?
Or good gay jokes. Gokes.
Oh, I thought you said hoax, gokes. Like homophobic jokes.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that'd be good too, actually.
No, those are homophobes.
Oh, homophobes.
But yeah, the animation's shit for that show too. I'm not even gonna find the name of it because you don't need to watch it. No one needs to watch it.
Yeah,
that's my choice.
And that's my
choice. You know, growing up, I remember we had, my dad would buy movies from just, like, swap meets and, like, random stores. Like, he was always buying movies. And one of the ones that we got, I remember it had it, like, advertised on the like, cover or whatever. It was like, oh, banned, one of the first banned movies or whatever. It was Freaks. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen Freaks or heard of Freaks?
Oh, shit. I need to watch. I've seen like
Doesn't
a bunch
familiar.
Of
the
it's, clips.
It's the Google gobble, we accept you, one of us. They make fun
Is
of
that,
it on
that's,
South
that's
Park.
That's Alex Winter, right?
Alex Winter, I'm not sure. It's from 1932.
Never mind. I'm thinking of Freaked. Freaks,
okay,
I know
I've
Freaks.
Definitely,
yes, I have
yeah.
Seen, I've
yeah.
seen
no, I've definitely too. Not seen this 1932 movie. I will.
Oh, yeah, well, no, of course.
Yeah.
It's
Wait. Oh, I've seen images of this movie for sure.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Both Thawne and Freaked, I think, are both like banned, or like delisted or something.
It scared the shit out of me as a child. It really is a pretty freaky movie. Mm-hmm. It's a scary movie. I don't know if it actually was banned, because I mean, how the fuck do we get a hold of it? But then again, like you guys said, you could get a hold of anything here. It was.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been banned and unbanned.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of things happened that too.
Yeah. It's about this like. Well, I don't know if she was a bank robber trying to hide out in a circus, But it's this woman who tries to manipulate this like little person into, I think, because he was like wealthy from being in the circus, she was basically manipulating him into giving her all of his shit and all of his money. And then I think at one point he dies, and all of the freaks realize that it was because of the other, you know, because of the thief. And they fucking, like, they hunt her down, and they like, they don't kill her, but they fucking turn her into a, like, a chicken creature. Oh, and they turn her into an attraction, and it's really fucked up.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's, yeah, no, that sounds okay. Like a fucking...
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's, I remember that one being...
That's one of those ones I have been curious to check out. That and Freaked, funny enough.
I realized that I did think of something that that I would want to be banned, and that's patenting game mechanics.
Oh yeah, that's shit. I mean, shit. There, isn't it? Well, go ahead.
There's this whole thing right now with Palworld being sued by Pokemon.
Pokemon.
And the basis of them being able to sue them is the mechanic of having a creature capturing game that you capture creatures by aiming and releasing a capture device to hit them with. Using the right trigger. So, specifically, that mechanic was patented for... Yeah. Legends Arceus, I believe, and is now the basis, one of the bases of like of this lawsuit.
I just saw another game today that's the same thing. I think it's like a trailer for a new one. It's called like Marabai Go or some shit, but it's literally the it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
The same game, like Pal World
again? Yeah, it's like Pal World. Yeah, you got the whole crafting. It looks like cheap, but it's just another, like, the shit isn't going to stop. And the designs they don't have any charm. They have some charm, but it's not, you know, they're missing that Pokemon aesthetic.
The one that really pisses me off that people talk about is... Well, Warner Bros. A long time ago, have you guys ever played Shadow of Mordor?
No.
Yep, the Nemesis system.
The Nemesis system literally is one of the coolest things to come out in a video game in a long time. It was immediately patented by Warner Bros., who has proceeded to never use it again.
What? Yeah. The Nemesis system, for listeners that don't know, is... Basically, like the enemies kind of get like. Do you want to explain it? Sorry, I'm like trying to draw.
Yeah, it's an adaptive enemy system where you defeat certain generals and enemies in the game, they can try to escape you, and if they manage to escape you, they will reinsert themselves back into the random seeds of generals who are at the heads of various levels. And they will now have power-ups based off of how you beat them. And, like, if you beat them using a specific type of play, they'll be stronger against that type of play this time. And this adaptive enemy system was patented. So now, if anybody ever gets close to making an enemy system that adapts at all, they, like, patented just the concept of them, like, retreating, changing and adapting to your gameplay specifically and coming back is what they patented. And it just is, like, it's just a complete handicap on the things people can do with video games, because that system can be used for so many things.
Oh, yeah.
And it is sitting in a patent file, not even being used by the company who made it.
Wait, but it's Warner Brothers, you said?
Yeah.
So Lord of the Rings, Mortal Kombat, any DC game. saying those are the things that can use it. I mean,
they
could do Arkham.
Because Mortal Kombat would be funny.
Yeah. Making a Batman game.
Yeah, Batman would be perfect
with the Nemesis system would be... crazy.
Like a non-linear Batman game.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, where like every time you play, the order that you choose to like fight people in and handle the situations going on in Gotham completely changes how your story arcs from
in
A
general.
To B.
I think video games just need that in general. They need to be non-linear. Like I think that's like that would be like a next. To find a way to make the story, like, I don't know, just give it much more of an open world approach.
I think it depends on the game.
Yeah, of course.
I like
course.
Me some, like, Pizza Tower, like, platform stuff. Yeah. Actually, funny enough.
I feel like Bejeweled would be better to only be linear. Open world Bejeweled.
I want all the colors in a specific sequence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, speaking of, it's not necessarily banning, but delisted games. I think it's like a similar, because like then there's like the, like for an example that comes to mind right now is Concord. If you've heard of Concord,
oh yeah, that's
a game.
Crazy.
What it's like a Overwatch style game.
Yeah.
That just
shooter clone.
Yeah, that came out and is immediately delisted, and so it's an online
they
only
shut
too.
The They shut the servers.
I feel
down.
Like that's a
yeah. So
after
you,
like 2
that's
months.
A self ban right
yeah.
there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's a,
yeah.
That's a self ban.
Essentially,
yep.
Yeah. It's such
and it's
a bizarre.
Crazy.
I can't wait for like a documentary out of based on that game. Honestly,
there has to be the fact that
like
people like. It's funny because they're almost like people wanted to have a complaint about like there's probably so many people who lost money on like buying this game and now they can't play it. But then you look up the sales and it's like actually there's just straight up not a lot of people
yeah,
who bought this
no
game.
One really bought it,
I guess,
because it's
like,
not a free to play
no
either.
Bought it.
It's like you have to buy it. Most of those games are free to play. I heard that too. They were like it's funny because I was listening to another Castle Super Beast and they were reviewing like a news article about it where. The problem wasn't, what is it, like, crunching the
staff,
workers
yeah.
or anything? It was actually the opposite. There was, like, they were, like, no, like, everyone was a yes man. Everything, every idea slowed them down. The, like, budget got ballooned out of proportion because everyone's like, let's do everything, you know? No, like,
I heard that
no, we don't say no here.
They wanted it to be their Star Wars.
Yeah, I had the same. That's what I had heard.
You know, it's and you yeah. know what's crazy is, so they that like, it's basically an Overwatch clone, failed utterly. Meanwhile, only a few months later, out of its ashes on the internet rises Deadlock.
I've heard good things about
where this is a game in early access alpha. Is in early access right now and still not even released and has like on average like 60,000 people playing it already.
Nice.
Just from Steam keys. So it's just like
wait, how much
you
like
you
say?
Give
60,000
like for the first when the
oh,
first
yeah.
started getting the keys, it reached 60,000.
That's insane.
That was the number I remember it hitting.
I was stuck into Viv, and I remember seeing, like, some of the characters on, like, because they were playing, or she's playing, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, these look kind of cool, actually. Like, I think there's, like, a little, like, manga, like, little dude. I was like, let me see what the fuck is. It's, like, a really cool-looking character. Design.
It's interesting, because, like, it's honestly really well, I like the vibe of it a lot. I just, like, I literally don't have the mental capacity for MOBA-style games anymore that take 45 minutes. I literally, my brain is fried, and, like, I can't stay engaged for a full, like, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour long match.
That's
like,
a lot, yeah.
I just can't. That's a long time. That's a movie. That's, like, a whole, like, that you are in a video game, actively trying to not lose. Like, so, yeah, I just, but design-wise, I just thought it was interesting, because, like, it's also very Overwatch-y in its style, specifically the style. Yeah. And I only say that because Overwatch itself is based off of a Valve game. It's Team Fortress 2, Blizzard's Team Fortress 2. So,
it's like a big part of that genre is to look like cartoony humanoids.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the game does not function like Overwatch is. It is very different because A of all, it's over the shoulder shooter, not first person. And it's basically a MOBA. It's lanes with little creeps that drive down the lanes and try to take the towers in the lanes. And it's basically League of Legends, but with guns.
Nice.
But yeah, sorry about the tangent.
Banning. No, you're good. Yeah. No, I was three listed games too. I'm just thinking, like, companies don't do it because sometimes there's some cool stuff out there that
I remember one that was
if it gets delisted, there's nowhere to play it.
Sorry. I remember one that was banned was Hatred. As I was looking it up, like banned video games, this came up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember.
It's all Postal 2 and
yeah, it's like the edgy fucking like, yeah. Oh shit, sorry, I'm gonna take that again because I was it's like the edgy kill everybody around you and you get 100,000 points for killing a pregnant lady. Everything's or some so stupid
dark
fucking
and edgy.
Like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is a product of its time, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, same list now. I saw, like, Postal 2, Manhunt, and then Ethnic Cleansing. I'm like, okay, that one.
Of course.
That one makes sense. Imagine today someone, like, tried to make, like, a school shooter simulator, video game. Like, it can't, like, that can't release. Yeah. Like,
I don't know if that would release any year, though, to be fair.
I feel like before maybe Columbine, it might have if video games guess, had yeah, existed, sure. It might have been possible. But
Atari 2600,
or who knows? We might honestly fast forward 20 years, and it might just like school shootings might just be so common that now it's just a thing that's constantly used in video games and stuff, and nobody cares.
A simulator, so that people know how to get out of it. It's terrible.
Oh. Yeah,
it's part of education.
And they have to make it a video game because, like, 20 years from now, kids can't, like, stare at anything or, like, listen to any type of lesson if it's not a video game.
It'll be VR, too. So it's like.
It'll be via their Neuralink chips.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I don't know if the...
Well, it was a little bit depressing talking about stuff that gets banned, but, you know. I think it's fun to wax on about and to
wax off,
you know, to think about, you know, all the things that we're thankful to have access to and that don't get banned and that we get to consume still in this great media that we get to enjoy. Any closing plugs?
Plugs? Yeah. Follow me at Gibbledang. That's about it. And follow No Dumb Idea.
Makes sense.
Please do that.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. I'll plug myself at dadala.art on Instagram. You know, go give me a follow. I've actually been debating on making some stickers and other things out of some of my art. So, you know, if you're interested, go give a follow and keep up with updates there. And, yeah, same. Just follow No Dumb Idea. Share it. Comment. All the things.
Yeah. Email us if you have any ideas at our nodumidea@gmail.com, just in case you have any suggestions for us and episodes you might want to see. You can follow me at Gym Leader Nate on everything if you so choose. And, you know, I just want to give a big shout out to Hellboy.
Let's give a shout out to Chicken Lady Hellboy. From Freaks.
Chicken Lady. Pacock. No, I want that documentary.
Yeah, list that one. Oh no, God.
yeah. Sorry.
Thank you for listening to No Dumb Idea.